The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, thank you for that. That is Brother and Mrs. Bachman, and Brother Bachman's the new vice president of our college, doing a great job. Mrs. Bachman teaches in our academy, doing a great job there. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to the book of John chapter 3. The book of John chapter 3, I said a moment ago that this is almost like a testimonial. John chapter 3 and verse 30, the Bible says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Now, because of the way John's spirit was, John the Baptist's spirit was, I believe our Lord looked at that and recorded this in light of that. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus said that among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Now why? Because of his attitude, I believe, his attitude revealed in this particular verse on "he must increase, but I must decrease." I don't think that was more than just a transitional statement as we're going from the ministry of John to the ministry of our Lord. When Sylvia and I got married, we had a verse that we had claimed and still is our marriage verse today, over in Psalm 34 and in verse 3, where the Bible says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And that has been something that has been a verse that has described our marriage, whether it was in the field of evangelism, whether it was me making multiple lengthy trips to Southeast Asia and helping to start independent Baptist churches, whether it was being a pastor in Tennessee, now, of course, pastor here, whatever the case may be, the years of being an assistant pastor in Brooklyn, New York, then in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, you know, all those years we have served together, and it became sort of like a testimonial of us serving God together, that particular verse. Well, I think that this is a testimonial type of verse about John the Baptist, where he truly felt in his heart, if our Lord is going to be magnified, if our Lord is going to be that which you look to, the way you ought to look to him, then I think John is saying, here's what has to happen. I've got to decrease. I've got to get out of the way, and I've got to allow him to be able to increase. Now, I think that's very, very important for us to understand as believers. Now, how is it that we can do that? What happens in our lives when all of a sudden the Lord begins to increase? What happens? Is there some significant things that take place? By the way, how can you tell when the Lord begins to increase in your teenager's life? How can you tell when the Lord begins to increase in the life of your child? How can you tell that the Lord is beginning to increase in your spouse's life? Is there indicators? How is it that you can tell that God is beginning, yea, our Lord, beginning to increase in your life? Is there indicators? Let me give you some of those, if I may. Statement number one, pride will decrease. When the Lord begins to increase in your life and my life, pride begins to decrease. John chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, he it is, the Bible says, who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. So here's what John is saying. John is saying, I'm not even worthy to be able to unloose his shoes. Now, why is that? Because he's understanding that there is coming one after him that is greater than he is. And because of that, he's not feeling worthy to be able to even bend down and to be able to unloose the latchets of the shoes. Now, he is somebody that is deciding that in his own life, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to decrease. You know, I think our young people has picked it up. I've been here now 8 years, and I do appreciate all the kindness that you have shown me and my dear wife and family. Thank you so very much, and recognizing for our 8th year anniversary. And so wonderful. And we saw the little kids come up and give cards and stuff like that, and some of you older kids and some of you senior kids, and just great time. And so thank you so much for that. You know, and we certainly do not feel worthy of any recognition that has been given to us by people such as you and how dear you are to our hearts. But can I say this? Can I say that we ought never to be lifted up with pride? You know, pride will bring a man low. You know, all of a sudden you have somebody walking around like a peacock, you know, strutting their own feathers. And can I tell you, that causes a person, it kind of annoys people, to be honest with you. When all of a sudden you feel like that you own this and this, you deserve this and stuff like that. No. Look, can I tell you, if you and I got what we deserve, dear friends, we'd be burning in hell. And anything above hell is a blessing. Amen. Now, can I tell you, but pride will begin to decrease as the Lord increases. There was J. Hudson Taylor. Of course, J. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary and probably one of the heroes of history on the mission fields of the world. His China Inland Mission work, where thousands of Chinese came to know Christ as a Savior, and story after story, remarkable stories of how God used J. Hudson Taylor. Remarkable stories. And one day, somebody came up to his wife and said, I'd like to know. God used him in a marvelous way, and said to Martha, his wife, said, does he ever have any problems with pride? I mean, after all, look at how God's used him. Thousands upon thousands of Chinese people have come to know Christ as Savior, and businesses have turned around, and families have been helped and redeemed, and people that used to be in the way of the world and heading out this way now has Christ as the premier one that they're trying to please and to obey. And so as these people were coming to his wife in Shanghai and saying, now tell us about him. Has he ever had problems with pride? Martha didn't know how to answer. And so she said, well, I'll find out. So she went to her husband and said, you know, God's used you in a marvelous way here in China. Have you ever been tempted by that which is pride? And he was surprised at the question. And he said, I have nothing to be proud of. I have nothing to be proud of. And she said, well, of course you do. You know, look at all the things that God has used you to do, his wife said. And Taylor responded this. He said, I never knew that God used me to do anything. You know, he understood that it was God. You know, now may I say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. For those of you young people that's living for God in the public school, and I realize how difficult that may be in our present state of society, but can I tell you, even though you may be championing the cause of Christ and carrying your Bible and loving God and even passing out Bible tracts and helping people come to know Christ as Savior, as many public school young people that attend our church are soul winners and they're leading their friends to Christ in the public school, but can I tell you, never get high-minded and lifted up about that. You know, when all of a sudden somebody gets up to sing a song and man, you hit it. I mean, you just hit it. I mean, boy, I tell you what, and everybody's smiling while you're singing, and all of a sudden, you know, people, there's an outburst of amens, and at the end of the song, there's an array of applause that comes your way, and after the service, you know, people come up and say, wow, that was wonderful. Wow, that was just spectacular. Look, don't let that go to your head. Amen. You know, learn to do this. Learn to just say, praise the Lord. Some of you girls, you know, God's blessed you with a pretty face, and you even know how to comb your hair, and you got it in place, and somebody comes up to you and say, wow, I just want you to know that, and your parents must feel so blessed, you know, because you're in their presence, and don't let that go to your head. Hello. You know, what you could say is, well, thank you, and say it humbly, and say, well, praise the Lord, he deserves all the praise for everything that's done. When all of a sudden God gives you a raise, hey, say praise the Lord. You know, all of a sudden something good happens. Hey, make that a part of who you really are. I'm saying this, pride will begin to decrease as he begins to increase. Statement number next, personalities will decrease. Personalities will decrease. You know, it's not who's important. anymore. Psalm 8, and in verse 3, the Bible says, when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers and the moons and the stars which thou hast ordained, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? He said, when you consider all the handiworks of God, you know, then what is man? I mean, look at all the wonderful things that God has done. You know, I think it's a blessing just to breathe, amen? Yeah. Hey, think about this. You got up this morning. You're able to get out of bed. That's a blessing. Amen. You're able to get in your car. And most of you had heaters in your car. And if you did what I did, I always cheat on a cold morning. And I'll go out and start my car and go back in the house and drink coffee and then come back out later on and my car is ready or my truck is ready. All right? Now wait a minute. I'm saying this. God's been pretty good to us. He's been good to us. You got friends. You got clothes on your back. Hey, can I tell you, the earth is the Lord's, as you learned in Sunday school, and the fullness thereof. The reason that we're so blessed is because we live in the earth that is God's, and we realize where the blessings come from. Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Can I tell you that if God has given you anything today, you ought to thank God for it. You got money today. You might be going out to get a meal after the service. Thank God for that. You're getting in a car and it's got heat. Thank God for that. You've got gasoline in your vehicle. You're able to make it from A all the way down to Z. Can I tell you? Thank God for that. You've got a mom and dad that loves you, cares for you, spoils you, tries to do things nice for you. Thank God for that. You've got a friend. You say, that's all I've got is just a friend. Hey, that's better than having no friends. Thank God for that. You've got somebody today, when you sat down in your pew, they didn't get up and move. Thank God for that. Hey, I'm saying this. I'm saying God has been good to us. Now, understand, so when God is so good to us, realize that He is mindful of us. And we ought to be so appreciative of that. We ought to be appreciative of the fact that God is mindful of our very being. But don't be heady and high-minded of the fact because of a person. Yeah, somebody gets up and can I tell you, listen to me. Somebody gets up and boy, they can preach and man, they just give it what for and it is just so good. But they wouldn't be able to do nothing what for if it wasn't for God. Yeah. I mean, somebody gets up and I'm telling you, they can bellow out a song. Hey, thank God for that. You know, God has been so good to us, especially here in America. It's absolutely amazing. Tonight we're going to show the video. Tonight the video we'll show of India and how we were in India and how God moved in people's hearts and changed people's lives. And we'll show that towards the end of the service. And my, what a blessing that is going to be for you to be able to see how God moved in the lives of many Hindus and Muslims and people of that faith and receiving Christ as Savior and how God changed lives. And can I tell you, that's all to the glory of God. God has done a marvelous work, you know, about Hudson Taylor, and I love to study different ones, but Hudson Taylor, one day he was scheduled to speak over in Melbourne, Australia. He was supposed to be the one that was going to give, of course, a graduation speech, and as he got ready to get up, I mean, the person that was the moderator of the meeting, he waxed eloquent. He was telling about Hudson Taylor, and he's just went on and described him and just said, you know, he's been greatly used of God over there, and how many tens of thousands of people's lives have been changed, and all the people it's been saved. And Hudson Taylor got up, and he said this. He said, my dear friends, he said, I'm just a little servant. That's all I am. But I have a great Savior. What was he realizing? He was realizing that his master is great. He's realizing that God is the one that uses different people. But I'm saying this. I'm saying when God begins to increase, when our Lord begins to increase in your life, when Jesus begins to increase in your life, pride will begin to decrease. Personalities will begin to decrease. And also this, possessiveness begins to decrease. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can I tell you that once you take your last breath, it's over? You know, we were living in New York City for a little while, and we lived right beside the Prospect Park. Well, there in Brooklyn, they've got a famous, famous cemetery. Many people that were famous as far as playing in sports were buried there, and many actors were buried there, and there was a man that was very affluent that was in the area, and his son, he bought him a car, and his son got killed in the car, and he had the car remade, and he buried his son in the car. Imagine how wide and how long that gravesite would be. Have you ever done this? Have you ever walked through, and I know people that do this all the time, and so it's not really eerie, but I know people that do it, and I've done it too. When I preach funerals, I'll walk through the cemetery a little bit. I'll see when this person was born, and when this person died, you know, and I'll pay close attention. Okay, that was about 81 years, 82 years, 83 years, but then I noticed some of them, they have short lifespans. Some of them might be 24, might be 21. Some of them in their teen years, they don't make it very long. You know, might die at age 16 or 17 or so. We had a young man that had visited our youth group many years ago in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and he was 16 years of age. My wife will remember this, and he was a track runner with a public school. He was out there practicing one day, just running around the tracks. Age 16 years of age, dropped dead of a heart attack at age 16. Can I tell you, I've been the pastor here for 8 years. Even amongst our own people, I preached the funerals of babies. Amongst her own people. I preached funerals of young people, 17, 18, 19 years of age, tragic deaths. Can I tell you, even among our people, I preached the funerals of those that were young in their married life. Sad. I preached the funerals of people, and I don't like to do this. I'm a quick hospital visitor. I really am. You want me to come visit you in the hospital? I normally don't stay 2 hours. It's not that I don't love you. It's just that, man, there's just something about hospitals. So I'll just go in, and here he is. He's in the hospital. I'll walk in. Now, and sometimes it's not this short. I know I spent time with Mrs. Jones up there, the back surgery, and Mrs. Stead, and so many other ones that's going in the hospital. But I'll go up and shake the hand, and man, I sure do love you. And we talk for a while, chit chat a little while, and then I'll say, let me pray with you. I'll pray with them. Is there anything I can do? Now, if they're going to go to surgery or something like that, many times I'll take somebody with me. I think you were with me with the Joneses, right? Stayed there, is that right? Stayed with you guys the whole way through. And I heard he treated you to steak. And then, Now, can I say this? Can I say it is so very, very important that we understand that possessions ought not to possess us. Man, God's been so good to our family. He really has. My wife's been spoiled. I've been spoiled. Kids have been spoiled by God. By God. I mean, God is the one that spoils people, but don't let those possessions possess you. You ever see somebody, they get a car and they park it at the end of the parking lot? You ever see that? You know, and they have to walk 3.5 miles from the building just to get in the car. You know, be careful. Don't let the possessions possess you. You ever see somebody that, you know, they can't stand for the grandkids to come over because they purchase all these very expensive little trinkets and they have them on the lower shelves. And then when the grandkids come over, they're a nervous wreck the whole time the grandkids are there. Oh, don't let them touch that. Oh, don't let her touch that. Don't let her go over there. Hey, keep them away from that. You know, those possessions. Be careful that those possessions do not possess you. You know, now you ought to take care of things. Amen. God gives you a car. You ought to make sure it's clean. Yeah, make sure that it's something that will represent him well. God gives you nice clothes. Retain them well. God gives you good education, protect it well. God gives you the ability to be able to do things, then step out and do those things. You know, it was Queen Elizabeth I. Here's what she said, by a very wealthy lady. She was on her deathbed, and here's what she said. Her last quote, her last phrase out of her mouth was this: "All my possessions I will give for just one moment of time." She said, "Everything I own, I'll give away if I just have one more moment of time." Well, can I tell you, you're not going to have one more moment. You can't buy it. And that's why I think you ought to take and just do the best you can with everything you've got. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. I don't understand why God's people walk around like God is dead. I don't get that. I mean, I'm not saying you got to walk around, you've heard me say this, I'm not saying you got to walk around with a smile all the time. I mean, that's fictitious and probably fake. I'm not saying you got to be that way. But he still is alive. He still does answer prayer. And if you go to him, he can help in every given situation. I mean, you don't have to live under the bus. You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying possessiveness will decrease. You know, oftentimes birthday comes around or anniversary comes around and our children will say, "What can we get you? What can we get you all?" Southern talk, "you all." "What can we get you all?" And we say, "Hey, we're fine. We're fine. You know, everything is good. God's been good." You know, I was flying over to the Philippines. I was preaching with Mike Ray. Got off the plane, walking down the corridor of the airport there. Brother Ray came up. I gave the illustration before. He said, "Man, give me high five." Gave him high five. Well, low five. He's short. I gave him low five. And he said, "Man," he said, "we made it. We made it. We made it." I said, "Yeah." I thought he's talking about the plane. He wasn't talking about the plane. He's talking about still being in the ministry and serving God. Look, if you're still in church today, can I tell you, I want to pat you on the back. You know how many people used to be in church are not in church anymore? Yeah. Something got them sidetracked. Something got them off point. Something came in their life, and all of a sudden they got bitter. You know how many people I hear, "Well, I'm never going to go to church again because," and they give the whole length of because. But no matter what your becauses are, God is still better to you than what you deserve. You know, so I'm saying this, be careful about the possessions. Don't let the possessions possess you. Here it is, last thing, and that is the population will decrease. I'm sorry, pollution. Pollution is popular. Pollution will decrease. Here it is. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, here's what it says. He says, "Then said I, woe unto me, for I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips." He says, "I will dwell in the midst of unclean lips," in the midst of the people of unclean lips. He says, "For mine eyes," it says, "have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He said, "Look, I just want you to know that I see myself as being polluted. I see myself as being unclean." You know, I found this out. A person that really wants to be used of God has to be somebody that's always, stay with me, always getting right with God. Some people have the erroneous idea that when they come to an altar and they get right with God one time, that's it forever. That is not it forever. Somebody thinks, "Well, I tell you what, if I get filled with the Holy Ghost just one time, that's it forever." That's not it forever. Somebody thinks, "Well, I tell you what, if I enjoy Christianity just one time, man, that should just last me the rest of my life." It won't. You know, I find this out about the Lord. I find out that you and I, we have a battle with the flesh every single second of the day. And it's a battle. So what do you do with that battle? Well, you either give in and lose, or you either stand up and fight and win. But I don't care who you are. You know that liquor is a temptation to the Christian. I don't want to say just as much as it is to a lost person, but in some cases, true. Do you know that drugs can be a temptation to that which is a saved person? Yeah. Do you know that taken in the wrong type of pictures and letting that, the Bible talks about how it will kill the soul, damage the soul, destroy the soul. You know, I know Christians that are being destroyed. I'm saying, you know, the pollutions that we have inside of us that attack us, they'll begin to decrease. Okay, it's like this. If I'm drinking this right here, this is that which is good, wholesome water. I'm drinking this right here. As long as I'm drinking it, I've got it to my mouth and I'm drinking it, I can't put something else in the mouth. Once the mouth is full of the water, it's there. But if I got something else here that's got poison in it, I can't put that in there at the same time. Well, some of us could, but I couldn't put that in there at the same time. And that's exactly what the choice is. You ever do this? You ever fill up on salad and then you don't have time for the meal? You ever do that? They say if you want to lose a lot of weight, drink a lot of water before you eat. Have you heard that? Yeah, I've not practiced it either, but I've heard it. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that, you know, what you put in does make a difference. And that's why I say, you know, you come to church, you say, man, I heard the preaching, and I just wish the preaching would change me. Sometimes it takes a long time. Somebody comes to me for marital counseling. They come in, they say, preacher, look, we've had a rotten marriage for 17 years. It's been horrible. We don't get along. We don't know how to communicate. We live together, but we hate each other. Now, preacher, we've come in this one counseling time for you to straighten us out. You know, you're looking for a Red Sea miracle in the pastor's office, and there is no water in there. It's not going to happen. Somebody says, I'm going to start going to one of those straight Bible preaching churches called a Fundamental Independent Baptist Church. They'll tell us how it is. Okay, so you go to a church thinking it's going to fix all my problems in one service. Doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. By the way, you don't go to eat somewhere, eat one meal a day, and say that'll satisfy me. No, man. Some of you men are like cows. You graze all day long. You know, you just have to keep taking it in and taking it in and taking it in. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that the pollutions will decrease, but it depends on your intake. Why is it some Christians are further down the line in living for God than other Christians? Intake. Why is it some people are more excited about living for God than other people? Intake. Whatever you're taking in is what's going to come out. You take a person hanging around people that's cursing all the time, what do? They pick up a word and they say the word. You take a person's listening, if you would please, about violence all the time. Should it surprise you that they have problems with retaining their own temper, restraining from acting wrong? No, because what you put in. So there's the pollution, and I'll give it to you and I'm done, will decrease. Isaiah, as it says in chapter 6 and verse 5, I read a moment ago. He says, woe unto me. He says, I'm undone because he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. But he doesn't just say that. He said, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So it's not a matter that you've got the battle with you. You've got the battle with everybody that's around you. So what do? You decide that I'm not going to be polluted by certain things. You know, there was a fella, an American legend many years ago. His name was Daniel Webster. Daniel Webster, of course, was one of the ones that was a figurehead in the Constitution. They called him a constitutional expert and powerful speeches. I mean, powerful speeches. They said that he was one of the men that held the country together while it was leading up to the Civil War. Powerful speaker. One day his dad was going off, and of course he had an older brother by the name of Ezekiel. His dad's name was Ebenezer, and Ebenezer was going off, and he told the boys, he told Ezekiel, the oldest one, he said, look, he said, here's the chores. I want you to get them done before I return. So Ebenezer, the dad, came back and he looked at Ezekiel, the older brother of Daniel, and he said, hey, look, he said, I don't see that you did anything. He said, didn't you do anything that I told you to do? He said, no, sir. He said, I had other things I was doing. He said, Ebenezer. Ebenezer said to Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, he said, I'm disappointed. Why didn't you do what I told you to do? He said, because I was busy doing nothing. So he looked at young Daniel and said, well, what were you doing? He said, I was helping Zeke. You know, we can be influenced, if you would please, by the people that's around us. We can be. Yeah, I find this out to be true. I find very few people that are self-starters and self-motivated. I find very few. I find people that follow, but I find people that have a difficult time in leading. Now, can I tell you this? Just by sheer fact, you're here on a Sunday morning services, I think, is one of the hardest services to attend. You got to get up. You got to get things moving. You worked all week long. I mean, you faced the world, the flesh, and the devil. And now, all of a sudden, now you're going to turn it on and become spiritual and go to church? That's hard. But you did it. So what's that show me? That shows me that you have a desire to be able to do those things for God and receive those things from God that God wants to give you to be able to make it further. And I find this out, the closer I get to Him, the more I feel like I've just got to decrease. I've got to allow Him to help me. When I was coming up as a teenager, I'd go to that weight barn, and it had a name. It was called the Weight Barn. I go to the weight barn, Wade Wagner would meet me there. And, you know, Wade would put his fingers under that, you know, as we were doing the bench press. He said, come on, Mike, push it, push it, push it. He wasn't helping me. He was motivating me. Right. Now, by the way, even if I gave out and it fell and it crushed my throat, all he was going to do was this. He was supposed to be a spotter. I think he was just looking. He wasn't spotting. But can I say this? Because of that, there was that push just to go a little bit further. Just a little bit further. You know, I think sometimes church ought to be that way. I think sometimes we come to church, yeah, the preacher needs to get up, teach on prayer, teach on faith, teach on what things we know reinforces what we believe. I think that's important. But I also think it's important that the preacher gets up sometimes and say, hey, man, we can do it. I said, we can do it. Step out and go forward. Trust God just a little bit more. Let God work in you and through you. Why? He's a great God. I think sometimes we need that too. I'm saying this. I'm saying that there needs to become a time when Jesus is the one that increases in our life. Might be through your Bible reading. Might be through your prayer life. Might be through your witnessing life. Might be through your faithfulness in church. Is He increasing? Is He increasing? The more that, stand up, the more that I allow Jesus to increase in my life, the more that I bring Him in, 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 the more there's an influence there. And the more influence that Christ can have inside of us, the more it changes us. You ever do this? You ever hang around somebody before you know it, you're talking like them?
Right.
Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. I was in high school, thank you. I was in high school, was sitting in a room, started looking up, noticed a girl was watching me. She kept, ever just so often, she kept staring at me, kept looking up. Finally, she looked up. Somebody's watching her. They looked up. So what were they looking at? Same thing I was, nothing. But there was an influence. Told the story, we lived in Brooklyn, New York for years. We go soul winning on Saturday for 3 hours. I take the teenager soul winning every Saturday, 3 hours. We'd always go down to Fifth Avenue, and we'd stop people on Fifth Avenue. It's very hard to get indoors. People are a little bit fearful. They didn't want to knock on a door. They weren't going to answer it. So we had to get people where they were. So we go down on Fifth Avenue. We'd stop people as they're walking in Brooklyn, Fifth Avenue. We go soul winning for 3 hours. And man, we lead people to Christ. Several times it happened. We lead somebody to Christ. They go get a friend. And they'd say, hey, you going to be here for a few minutes? Yeah, we'll be here. Let me bring a friend and let me get you to tell my friend what you told me. Because I want my friend to go to heaven too. They run down a couple of blocks, get a friend, bring a friend back. We'd be able to witness to the friend, and the friend would get saved. There was a couple of times I told the teenagers, you know, because it was just cold outside, and we always went soul winning every Saturday. And of course, if you lived in that area with that climate, you know, weather just doesn't matter. I mean, it just doesn't matter. You're going to go soul winning when it's snowing outside. You're going to go soul winning when it's icing outside. You know, it's just the way, you know, it's just the way you live. And so we're out soul winning, man. It was snowing outside and stuff like that. And, man, we were shivering. The kids were cold. And we were showing people how to be saved. And, you know, some of the kids, they would get them to come in the storefronts, you know, and they would witness to them because the snow was coming down. They'd get them to step into those storefronts and say, come in here. We'll show you how to go to heaven. And people would gladly step in. They gladly said they just wanted to get out of the snow that was hitting them on the face and the wetness and the cold and their noses freezing and stuff like that. So they'd step in the little portion of those storefronts, and those kids would have the opportunity to take those New Testaments or take those soul winning cards and be able to show them their need of receiving Christ as Savior. Never forget one sunny afternoon, it was about mid-July or so, we out soul winning. I told the kids, I said, look, on this corner right here, I said, I want you to meet me there in about 15 minutes. Just about 10 of you. We had about 50 or so teenagers that would go out. And I said, but I need about 10 of you just to meet me there. And so give me some volunteers. And so they raised their hand. I said, let's just do something that's fun. And so we started looking up, told the story before, started looking up, and just started looking up, had some of the kids start pointing to it. Now, look at that. Look at that. Wow, look at that, you know, and they were getting excited about it. What they're looking at? Nothing. All of a sudden, people are coming along. They say, I see it. You see it? I remember one older lady, she's in her 80s. She started looking up. She said, it's right there. It's right there. I don't know what she was seeing, but it's right there. You know, now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that influence. You know, your parents could help your kids an awful lot when you come to church just to enjoy it. Influence. Pays to come early, not late. Influence. Shake hands with people as handshaking time. Influence. Influence. Walk older people out to the car. Open the car door for them. Make sure they get in safely, especially with the weather that's outside right now, so they don't slide or slip. Influence. Influence. You'd be amazed how God could use you if you just decide to let Jesus increase and you decrease. Father, bless, we do pray. Thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.